If you'll turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, I'll talk to you about victory through worship. And I failed to give Cheryl the title of the message before church. Not her fault, mine. But victory through worship, three words, you can remember that. And so I'm thankful that we can worship God, and that's what we're created to do. That was God's plan for Adam and Eve in Eden, that the earth would be filled with the glory and the presence of God forever. We know that sin blocked that and took that away, but in the millennial kingdom it will come again, praise the Lord. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, the Bible tells us. Amen. But until then, we're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so let's notice 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The reading may be a little bit extensive today, but that's all right. You may not be ahead on your Bible reading today. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others besides them, the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Joshua feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the court. And here's Jehoshaphat's prayer here, verse 6. And said, "O Lord God, of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not might and power, so that none is able to withstand you? You are our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to your descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for you, for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." And now here are the peoples of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of God came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all of you, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow you shall go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korathites, stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with loud and high voices. So they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." When they had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and the Mount Seir, who had come up against Judah, and they were defeated. Praise the Lord. Verse 30, same chapter. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint your servant to bring forth the scripture. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage, strengthen the heart of every person, that you'd talk to the heart of people as only you can do. We ask for your divine guidance, your anointing, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking today about victory through worship. And I know a lot of times we think of worship as you come to church, sing three hymns, a sermon, and a poem, and a prayer. And then you go into another white week with a little bit of victory, not much. And the next week you resume the same difficulties, no answers, no victories. However, we serve a God who is powerful and almighty, who not only saves but continues to dwell in us throughout our lives. I want to tell you, God is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship, not just at church. Amen. But you can be somewhere by yourself and not be alone because God is there. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together, the scripture says. So let's just take the time to worship God. Amen. Wherever you're at. And it'll be victory for you if you worship God. The devil's not pleased when you worship God. He wants you to worship him. But we're going to worship one true God forever. And so Jehovah here, or Jehoshaphat here, prays. And prayer begins to change people who pray. They were challenged to believe God rather than a natural solution. They're saying, "Lord, there's multitudes gathered against us." And that day that it was quite common for that. The enemies would come in, usually about the time of the gathering of the crops, and they would come in multitudes and come down and reap all the crops for the people, steal all the crops and for themselves, and then go away and leave the people that raise the crops impoverished. But now they come to this place and here the Moabites and Ammonites were attempting to do the same thing, but they prayed, and through worship they gained victory. And not because their armies were so powerful and they had the greatest weapons of the day, but they had God. And then here, Jehoshaphat prays, and he acknowledges that God is more powerful. He said, verse 6, "You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you?" So we see here the king understood that God was all-powerful, almighty, that he was not limited to some place or some time, that he was over all the earth, all the kingdoms of the earth. He had the authority to give victory and power. And sure, church, God has authority to still give you victory today. Amen. And it's God's will that you live in victory, not be defeated and cast down and put down all the time and going around feeling sorry for yourself. God wants you to be confident that he's able to take care of it, whatever it is. And I know he can. So here, the king acknowledged God's power over all earthly powers. He remembered God's promises. Verse 7, he says, "Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever?" He's saying, "God, I know that you gave us this land, and here they are threatening to take away the inheritance that you've given unto us." So he acknowledged God's power. But he also remembered God's promises there. Verse 8, "Did they dwell in it and have built your sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." So he knows, he remembers what God said to them and says, God, I know you've got this. You've got this taken care of, whether it's affliction, whether it's an enemy, whether it's pestilence, whether it's judgment or famine. We will stand before you. You said in your word, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So God's promises were certain and sure, and the king and the people began to worship God because they knew his promises were true. They didn't worship God because they had more worshipers than the army had. They were greatly outnumbered. But I want to tell you something. God is not ever outnumbered. Amen. He even promised Israel, said, one of you will put a hundred to flight, 10 of you will put 10,000 to flight, or something of that nature. Okay. You know where? When you're outnumbered, you're not outnumbered if you got God. Okay? But prayer changed their focus. Verse 12, you know, we look at all the things outside and say, oh, God, you couldn't do this, do that. And we look at things that are coming up on our world, on our nation, on our country, and we see all kinds of things that are out there that just know, God, would you please help us change this? People that are perverted in their mind and their behavior. Let's look how the king looked at it. Verse 12, O God, will you not judge them, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. You ever been to the place where you didn't know what to do? I know you have. But it says, but our eyes are upon you. Their focus was upon the Almighty God, all-powerful, all-knowing God, who has never lost one battle, never been defeated, never will lose a battle. Amen. And he says, Lord, our eyes, our focus is upon you. And so when we worship and when we pray, we begin to see what God can do instead of what we can do. We begin to rely on him instead of us. We begin to have faith in God instead of faith in self. Amen. I'm glad that God is able. We can have faith in a God that's all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty, who never misses, who never fails, who's never lost a battle, who never will lose a battle. That's the God that we serve, my friend. You can count on him. He's right. He's true. He's holy. He's pure. He'll do what he said he would do. Amen. So our eyes are upon Christ. Second, we see that prayer leads to God's spoken word. As they began to pray, then God began to speak. In verse 13 of our text, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children stood before the Lord. You see, when their worship service, they didn't leave anybody out. Wives, children, acquaintances. Doesn't say it, probably third cousins. They stood before the Lord, and then God speaks. When they begin to pray, God spoke. Verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came up on Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and he began to prophesy of God's work. And he prophesied, he was a Levite of the sons of Asaph, they were music people. And he said, listen, all of you of Judah, and this is speaking by the Spirit of God, he says this, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Man, I want to tell you, God can do more in a few seconds than we can ever do in a lifetime. But our eyes are upon you, Lord. And the battle is not yours, but God's. And you may fight battles. And let me tell you something, friend. There have been people that have whole spiritual warfare conferences and all that, but then can't we just make it simple and say the battle is not ours, but it's God's? God has more power, more might than we'll ever have. And yes, there is such a thing as spiritual warfare, but spiritual warfare is trusting in God, leaning up on him instead of self. Amen. And so they look to God, verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Amen. Can we just see God above all things? Amen. Can we just see God cry high and lifted up and exalted? Can we just see that God's bigger and more powerful than anything you're going to face? I want to tell you something, friend. He's your God. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. You belong to the greatest of all times. You belong to the Creator of the ends of the earth, who faints not, neither is weary. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We serve that kind of God. Praise the Lord. The battle is not yours, but God's. And so they look to God. And God says here, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, this wasn't the first time Israel had experienced God's power like this. They saw God drown a whole Egyptian army in the Red Sea while Miriam took out a tambourine and began to shout and to praise the Lord. And they all began to worship God as God drowned the whole Egyptian army in the Red Sea. Amen. Caused the wheels to fall off their chariots. And they couldn't come up for air. So, they knew what God could do. They had seen God do this. Praise the Lord. So, prayer leads to God's spoken word. And God, through the prophet there, spoke His word to them. And then prayer does something else. It leads to worship. I can't pray very long before I'm worshiping God and giving thanks to God for what He's done. Amen. We come to God with problems. Do this, do that, Lord. God says, just worship me. He'll take care of it. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, after the word of the Lord came, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. All the inhabitants of Judah or Jerusalem, and Jerusalem, they bowed before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. I want to tell you there's power in worship. I'm not talking about any kind of thing that you can make happen, but when we begin to worship the Lord, there's power in that. God tells us to worship. So many times in Scripture, people worship the Lord, and God tells us to worship Him. Amen. Those who worship Him are, you know, and we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Man. So prayer led to worship. Let me give you a biblical example here. That is that of Paul and Silas. In the New Testament, they were in a difficult place. They had been thrown into the Philippian jail, and their feet fastened strongly in stocks and bonds to the place where it hurt to be bound. And can you imagine Paul and Silas here in prison because they preached the gospel? And if you imagine with me a little bit here, Paul looks over at Silas and said, let's sing. And Silas might say, sing about what? Here we are tied up in stocks and bonds. But you know, God responds to praise and to worship. And as they begin to pray and sing hymns to God, all the jailers begin to listen to them, and they were doing missionary, you know, they were doing prison ministry right here. And all the prisoners heard them singing and worshiping God. And God sent an earthquake that shook all the bonds off of those who were tied up and bound. And they were free. And the end result was the jailer and all of his household were saved. There became a missionary works there, and God planted a great church in Philippi. That's what God can do when people really worship Him. Amen. And so when you're going through a rough time, singing may not be the thing you really want to do. Amen. And you don't have to worry, when you're worshiping God, you don't have to worry about what everybody else thinks. If you're sharp or flat, if you're on key or off key, God understands. Amen. But as they began to worship God, they began to pray, they worshiped God. And worship led to faith. In verse 20, it says, hear now, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord. Have faith in God. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. He says it again. Believe His prophets and you shall prosper. So we got to come to God in faith. Lord, I believe you're able to take care of this. There's multitudes, there's impossibilities before me, but God, we're worshiping you. We believe, God, you will do what you've always done. You've always conquered enemies. You've always been the victor and never the victim. And you've always blessed, helped, encouraged your people. And God, you can handle this. I've never seen anything God couldn't handle. There's not anything. Matter of fact, He has authority over all things. Praise God. And so worship led to faith. They began to believe. There's no other answer. This would take God. Man. And their faith led to singing. Man. So we want to sing to the Lord, whether you can sing or not. Just pretend you can. Man. You ever notice when you get a bunch of people together, sometimes young people, you say, sing louder, sing louder. And the one that's completely tone deaf is the loudest. But God says here, they begin to sing. Amen. They begin to worship from their heart. Verse 21, he consulted with the people and he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. They were going out to battle. They were going to have to battle against this huge army. And they were greatly outnumbered. And God says, as you go out, just put the choir in front and sing. That didn't seem like an answer. He didn't say, sharpen your swords and your spears. Amen. He didn't see if he can invent some new weapon. But in the beauty of holiness, they began to sing as they went out with the army. And they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. They were basically saying, God, by faith, I know you've got this. You've taken care of it. It's yours. It's your battle. You told us not to fight. You're going to fight for us. We believe, Lord. We're just going to sing praises to your name. Praise the Lord. I don't know what they were singing. They might have been singing, he set me free. But they began to worship. And as they worshiped, they get their attention off of self and on God. They begin to look for God, to God for the answer. Pray with your children, parents, grandparents, pray with your children. Both of you kneel before God and ask for God's help. I believe that's a great lack in the church today or in the church family today. They've never heard you pray and they've never felt comfortable saying, God, Dad, Mom, would you pray with me about this? I'm having a struggle with this. And many times our response is, well, you know, if you wouldn't be doing this or that, you wouldn't have this problem. But no, my friend, they won't help. They want more help than you can give. They want divine help, and they're coming to you because you're supposed to be the one that's the spiritual leader of the home and teach them to pray. They don't just pray automatically. You teach them to pray by praying. Hallelujah. You don't have to be able to pray a good prayer or a pretty prayer. You just have to pray an honest prayer before God, and God will hear. So listen to me, parents and grandparents, whoever else. Why don't you just kneel before God with your child, with your brother, with your sister in Christ, and just pray together? The Bible says a prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Amen. The Bible says when they were being persecuted, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I want to tell you, prayer changes people. It gets your thoughts where they ought to be on God instead of self. Amen. Praise the Lord. So worship got their attention. They began to look to God for the answer. And God began to defeat the enemy. And God did not need the armies of Israel. All the armies of the Lord. I want to tell you, there's hosts. Thousands times 10,000s of angels God has that fight wars for him and with him. And they were sent out. The angels of God began to fight and they completely overthrew this multitude that had come against them. And it happened while they were singing and praising God. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, verse 22, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Man. And if you go on in the story, find after a while, these people weren't poor people, this army. They were rich people. They left behind all their riches, all their stuff. Amen. And Israel came in. It took them 3 days to carry away the spoil. And you say, well, that's theft. No, it's not theft. God gave it to them. Man. And so, when family problems arise, pray with the family. Pray with one another. Pray for one another. Sing in the Spirit. Whether you can sing or not, don't worry about it. Just sing to God. Worship the Lord. Put the worship to work, not just at church, not just on Sunday morning. Amen. But to worship God during the week. Praise God. Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our midst. The soul shall make his boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. And we can pray and seek God. Young people, when you feel like things are not going good and everybody, school is not accepting you for who they should, there's always that kind around. But God is on your side. Begin in your spirit man, to worship God. God, I know you've got this. You've given me eternal life. I've got nothing to be ashamed of. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my Redeemer. And I'm worshiping you as King of Kings. Whatever this problem is, God, I know that you've got it. I'm praying and I'm worshiping you instead of focusing on the problem. Say like Josh, but our eyes are upon you, Lord. Amen. And so they went to this valley and began to fight. And this valley was one of dread and fear, defeat and sorrow. But by the name, verse 26, the valley of Baraka, if I pronounce it right, probably not, but it literally means blessing. They saw a valley of defeat and discouragement and fear, but God made it a valley of blessing because God was on the scene. Amen. And God fought their battles for them, and they came back victorious and powerful. I want to tell you, God today is still victorious. He has authority over death, hell, and the grave. And God has a power and authority in heaven. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Have the authority to lay down my life. Have the authority to take it again. And he did both. Amen. He laid down his life for us. They didn't kill him. He laid down his life. Praise God. He rose again from the dead with victory and power over every force of darkness that there is. And so we just need to worship him, praise him, and exalt him. Amen. Bless the name of Jesus. The valley of blessing. I believe that's what you want this morning. Praise God.